Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Movies So Bad They're Good, Midnight Cool Classics and Camp, coming back at you with another one. I am Ian, and today we're doing Dracula 2000 for some reason. this movie, I guess it came out in 2000, starring Gerard Butler. What can you say about it? Not much. So this movie was recommended by our friend Ryan, who decided not to show up for the podcast. We don't know where he is. He said he was going to be here, but he didn't. But so we're going to, I don't know. If he's listening to this when it comes out, Ryan, where the hell are you? Anyway, what we do have here is our good friends Sloan and Daniel are back. Welcome back, guys.
Hey there. Woo.
Hell yeah. So, before Ryan recommended this movie, Tony recommended the movie called The Return of Captain Invincible, which looked amazing, starring Christopher Lee. And then, all of a sudden, he couldn't make it. So we decided, all right, we'll wait a week. And instead, Ryan was like, let's do Dracula 2000. And then both Daniel and Sloan couldn't make it. So we postponed it till today. And you're here now. But now Ryan's not here. This has been a mess.
It happens on the best of days.
It has not been the best of days, but that's all right. Today's doing, it's all right.
It's the best of days, it's the worst of days.
Something like that.
But, I don't know, is Ryan just, like, fucking with us? Because he was like, yeah, let's do Dracula 2000.
And, wait, I thought we were doing Dracula 3000.
Nope.
I'm just joshing you.
Damn it, Sloan. That's Sloan.
Aw.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we all went ahead and were watching a different Dracula movie because there's so many of them?
Apparently this movie has sequels. There's a Dracula
really
2 and a Dracula 3. Maybe they're not related. I don't know. There are a lot of Dracula movies. I am going to Google how many Dracula movies there are. And while I'm doing so, I just got a message from my friend Ryan. He said he'll be here in 20 minutes.
Hey, woo. Already? Awesome. We'll have to catch him up. We'll see if it's like the previous episode where I forget who it was that was with us, but he went to go pick up some food and came back and just kept kind of like echoing exactly what we were saying throughout the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that was Ryan.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, awesome. I think that was, actually.
Ryan gets it again.
And then there was, like, another episode where sometimes he comes in drunk, and he's just, like, he just repeats himself sometimes, like.
It happens to the best of us.
Alright, so, according to Generative AI for Google, there are more than 80 films where Dracula is in the title.
Nice. That's excellent. I 100% believe that. What about just Vampire that contains a Dracula?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's only got one more than Godzilla, so.
Sorry. Well, it says more than 80. Is there like 79 Godzilla movies?
There's a hot number of them. Since we just covered it recently, I figured it was appropriate to bring up the name.
Yeah.
There is Godzilla versus Frankenstein. I don't see why they can't have a Godzilla versus Dracula.
Is it Godzilla versus Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great one, too. It's got high ratings.
Wait, you're not talking about Mechagodzilla, are you?
No.
No.
No, like, literal, like, Frankenstein gets, like, created, and then he goes through these giant growth spurts. And they have to, like, keep them contained, and then Godzilla comes through, and they end up, like, having to fight. Yeah, it's a thing.
I want to see that. That sounds like something that I would watch.
I think it was mid-60s.
That does sound, It does sound like something Daniel would watch.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well, because you like monster movies.
I do. That's correct.
And this is like two like solid beasts, like two like titans.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anybody like listening is wondering why it's been a couple weeks or a few weeks since the last episode. I just recently went through a move. I moved to Houston and had a lot going on, so it was difficult to get into here. But I'm here. I'm all settled in, ready to go. So we're going back to the weekly podcast, which, by the way, you guys should visit.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. I'm definitely down.
Hell yeah. Daniel, you visited me like twice already, and I definitely owe you, but...
Yeah, you know, we always have our spare room open for you guys, either one of you all, and whoever you choose to bring with you. We never got a chance to touch base with Johnny when he was nearby. It ended up not matching up with our schedule, which was a damn shame. Would love to see any one of you all here.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for the invitation. Always. Thank you.
I've actually never been to Houston, so as much as I loved Austin and as much as I know you miss it, both of you guys, but I mean, I hate seeing another new city that just brings it higher up the list.
There are a lot of highways here.
I saw pictures.
If you've ever played, like, what is it, F-Zero-X or something like that, it's kind of like it. Everybody's just racing around each other. Other people are just crashing and burning around you.
Yeah.
Dear God.
That is true.
Okay.
I learned that day one. Anyway, let's get into the movie. Dracula 2000. What did you guys think?
I'm a fan, ultimately. You know, it's not the highest up there, but for what it was, for being on the cusp of the new millennium, I dig it. It did take me about half an hour to even realize that was Gerard Butler.
Yeah. He's the 300 guy, right?
Yeah. Or, as most people might know, Andrew Lloyd Webber's the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He actually sings better than the album version. The movie vocals are way better. Sorry, it's my mom's favorite play and movie, and she made me learn how to sing the Phantom of the Opera for duets and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
My vocal prowess.
Very interesting.
Yeah, Gerard Butler looks like he's got some pipes on him.
He's good.
So, is this the first time you've seen this movie?
I saw it a long time ago, but I definitely needed a revamp. Aha!
Good one. So you like it?
Yeah, I'm kind of halfway through. You know, as previously stated before, the acting is a little on the subpar. But hey, everybody was trying to figure themselves out during the mid. The early to mid 2000s. So
figured themselves out. Everybody's like,
just all the, like, B actors in A movies. Yeah.
Daniel, how about you?
This was my first time seeing this movie. I feel like it was incredibly beige. So it was beige. As bland comes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I really don't dislike it. That's the crazy part, but I have nothing good to say about it either. I don't know how you can do both of those things at the same time. Like just bland.
It has really good cinematography. Well, not really good. I take that back. But it has like that early 2000s cinematography that, like, everything's lit up really well. And
yeah.
So
yes, yeah. they in fact use lighting.
Well, a lot of the movies on this podcast that we cover do not.
Yeah.
So I was impressed by cinematography, and that was about it. So is this movie like, okay, so me, I made three attempts to watch it and I did not finish it any of those times. One attempt, I fell asleep right immediately in the beginning because I have sleep apnea and I fall asleep at random points in time.
That's not probably the exact base of this problem, though. Not with this movie. Like, I'm sure that a more enthralling movie might have kept you a little bit more going.
Dracula 2000 sucks because Ian has sleep apnea.
Do you have narcolepsy and we can't allow you to eat soup unwatched?
Is that a thing?
you've never seen Rob Schneider. What is it? The male gigolo, Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah.
He has to tie her hair to the banister so she doesn't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe we should cover that movie on this podcast.
That's a good one.
That's definitely so. Like, that is a really bad movie that's pretty fun.
When I look at something like the cinematography for the movie, I can see that there's some things that are going on there that, like, I really want to like, and then they're just not that exciting. Like, the weapons, they're clearly trying to pull the blade thing out with having really cool weapons.
Yeah.
They've got a cross that shoots a dagger out of it. They got a chain gun style version of a stake shooting gun that is really underused in the movie. That's fine. They've got cinematic decisions such as the fact that apparently people's necks are incredibly soft and very easy for decapitation. I don't know what happens.
Oh yeah, she sliced muscle, that head off like butter.
Oh, multiple times. And I was looking at it like, that's a very short thing to do it with. Like, I understand if you're gonna, using Highlander logic, I understand that a claymore is a very heavy, long weapon. Sure, you could get the oomph behind it to go ahead and cut somebody's head off, but like, that thing, man, that thing looked like it weighed exactly 2 pounds, and no problem getting heads off with it. Even just slicing through with a pair of garden shears. You know what my garden shears don't do? They can't trim bushes, because they're not sharp enough, and it's very difficult. So I don't know how you would get through vertebrae in, like, a head at all.
Maybe that's something
it's a Yoshi blade.
Vampires. Maybe when you become a vampire, like, your everything inside of your neck, like the muscle and bone and skin and all of that, just becomes butter.
Your neck ties inside, but the outside just has a nice pearly allure.
It was again brought up by my personal peanut gallery. My wife, as we're watching the movie, she's like, "So vampires don't have any blood in them, huh? Like nothing's in there. There's no blood. There's no liquid. Nothing." Like, okay, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, no, they've been drained of blood and all this. Like, yeah, but like nothing comes out. Like, I don't want it to explode like a pinata, but nothing. Like 3 drops. That's it. That's what you've got. Okay.
That's
like a pinata, like blade.
that's pretty common in the early 2000s. Again, like, what is this movie written? This movie's R, isn't it?
Yeah,
it should be. Yeah.
Why is there no blood?
I don't know.
God, there the early 2000s,
there was violence.
So the only blood that they really had was, you know, when they're on the plane, and then all of a sudden, like, he's supposed to just be biting into the neck, but then, like, the amount of blood that's shown on the wall is like 30 Days of Night. It's like that's a great vampire movie. That's shark teeth, and they're just like goring everybody's throats out. But yeah, no, they didn't go as far as that. They just had the two little fangs in these. But hey, before we go too far, I got a little joke for y'all. So you know how there's vampiric lore in multiple continents around the world. So you've got European vampires, Chinese vampires, American vampires. Do you know why there are no vampires in Africa?
American vampires in London, even.
Right. But do you know why there are no vampires in Africa?
Why is that, Sloan? Why are there no vampires in Africa?
Because they bless the rains down in Africa.
Wow.
That's right on par with the joke.
There was supposed to be music playing there and it fucking froze.
Oh, you had a thing set up.
Gonna take a long time to drag me away from you. Oh, Toto.
You spent so much thank time you, internet. On
you ruined it.
Oh my god. 20 minutes ago you said that like your mom taught you like how to sing Phantom of the Opera and then I did not ask you to sing and then we forgot about it. And then 20 minutes later it came back. That is a real punchline.
The Phantom of the Opera is there inside your mind.
There you go.
Well, right, that's the end of the episode, everybody. Thanks for listening. Guys, thanks for joining. This was fun.
And Toto never started playing. It's still just like stuck in limbo. Oh, there it fucking goes. Damn it.
Oh, do you know who wouldn't have been a fan of this is Dracula. During this movie, we got to observe him listening to some of the worst like 90s rock video that I think I've ever seen.
Virgin Records, yep.
Oh, there was a lot of new metal going on for sure.
Oh yeah, and he was there, and he's like, nice. Like he was really appreciative. He just stopped to like watch this video, and he's like, okay, yeah, I'm into that. All right, guys, you got this.
Yeah,
just a totally unrelated scene for no reason as him standing to watch a music video. I don't know why.
Yeah, so anyway, like I was saying earlier, I made 3 attempts to watch this. First time I fell asleep because I got off work and like usually when I get home, like I gotta take a nap because I have sleep apnea. And so I decided not to, but and I put it on the movie, but my body it didn't want to have an argument, so it was like, no, you're taking a nap. And and then the second time I watched the movie was like, I don't know, last night at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I fell asleep because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the third attempt was today, earlier today, which I did not fall asleep. However, I was playing a video game while I was watching it, so I was not paying attention. So
he was deeply involved.
So I've got lots of things I'm piecing together. So, like,
a major question for you then. Was Jesus Dracula? Did you all follow that ending thing?
Yeah, no, wasn't he Judas? I think he was Judas.
He's Judas, yes.
Judas in the 15th century, because all of the research that everybody did said that, yeah, in the 15th century, that's when Dracula appeared. What was he doing for 1500 years then? Or 1400, excuse me.
Not
living
only that.
His best life. Sorry.
Not only that, but this also it makes a few references to Bram Stoker's Dracula, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Demeter for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It starts out with the Demeter. And then you've got Van Helsing is in the movie.
There's always a Van Helsing, though.
and there's a Lucy, too.
And Simon, if you think about the Castlevania, Simon's Quest.
No, I'm talking about specifically
Bram
Stoker's. So there's at least 3 references. So is this like a reboot or a sequel or like because Van Helsing, he's like,
I'd say mostly like an homage.
Well, is he Van Helsing's like great 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 grandson or something?
Well, so this Abraham Van Helsing, he's been alive for a long time because he takes the leeches that he bleeds out Dracula with, and he keeps himself alive so that he can be immortal himself.
Okay. So I see that part I definitely missed. So he's the real Van Helsing.
I mean, I think he's a lineage, not the original, but he was the one that helped trap Dracula during the Jack the Ripper age. And then, yeah, they...
Jack the Ripper age.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt during the scenes that they were showing. Almost seemed like Jack the Ripper. But
Victorian age is the term.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Don Corleone age. Sorry.
Which you know, all if you rewind the clock, so all the way back to 2021 when I first started this podcast, one of the first episodes, I think it's like the second or third episode, we did a movie called Dracula AD 1972, in which case, a group of satanic hippies resurrect Dracula, and Van Helsing's great-great-grandson is just chilling, and Dracula goes for Van Helsing's great-great-great-grandson of Van Helsing's daughter, which sounds kind of familiar, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that kind of hits directly to a T right there.
So this movie ripped off a random, like, Christopher Lee Hammer Dracula movie from 1972.
Well, I've got a crazy conspiracy theory for you. As we well know, and I know your theory is that Lucy is ripped off from Bram Stoker's Dracula, but technically she's actually named after the Peanuts character. And who's our main character in this is Simon, as in Simon and Schuster, the company that went ahead and published all of the Peanuts anthologies for every number of years for the last 100 years. And I think that Mary might be a reference to Marcy, another Peanuts character. So that's my crazy idea
I love all your references to like the Peanuts. You called your wife earlier the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah, you did.
I bet I was hoping you'd pick up on that. That's good.
I was going to, but I got distracted.
Did the apnea make you fall asleep again?
Yeah. I actually no. I got a CPAP machine 2 days ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you're looking after you, buddy.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so completely unrelated to this movie, I did a sleep test, and then I went to see the doctor. And that's why I keep bringing up the sleep apnea, because it's very relevant for me right now. The doctor told me that I stopped breathing in my sleep a certain amount of times every night. Would y'all like to guess how many times per hour I stop breathing in my sleep?
7.
69. 68. Wow, okay. That was close.
No, but I won by the standard rules. Sorry, you went over, so I was the closest without going
Barker,
over.
What's his prize?
Nothing. yeah, so, well, would you like to know what my prize is? For saving my life, which, so my wife told me to, like, go get the sleep study because, like, she was worried about me and all that bullshit. And yada yada, she was worried because I kept stopping breathing in my sleep more than once a minute. So I go see the doctor. She's like, dude, who told you to come here? And I was like, my wife. She said, well, she saved your life. And so anyway, now I have to pay $500 to rent the CPAP machine.
Is that a month?
No, that's just for the thing. But $50 a month, though.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, well, so.
Well, hey, as long as it keeps you with us, that's the important part.
Yeah.
Oh, how existential of you.
No, it's cool. I'm happy. My bank isn't, but
yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to Dracula 2000. Anyway,
So I got a bunch of interesting questions for you guys.
Before you get into that, I want to go back to what you were saying, the peanuts thing. That is very interesting. Like, yeah, I think you might be onto something.
It was one of those things that was said in the movie that it was like, I mean, it was just really like, ugh. I actually made like a grossed out sound out loud and everything. Like,
wait, what, which part? That's bad.
Her referencing that she was named after the Peanuts character.
Yeah.
Like, but she didn't say I was named after the Peanuts names. Character.
She does, yeah.
She does, physically. She's like,
it's in the movie. It's canon. Oh,
I probably missed that part. Yeah.
It's so bad. Dracula's like, I have a thousand. I have a thousand names, each more dark and confusing and everything than this. I was named after the Peanuts character. I was like, Land! Oh,
that story building there for you. Oh, such a Mary Sue.
So was it Lucy that said that? Oh, no, it was the main character, the main girl. Right. By the way, this movie was produced by Wes. Shit, I was about to say Wes Anderson. definitely not Wes Anderson.
I would like to see Wes Anderson's Dracula 2000, though. That sounds great.
Right? Dude, I've been playing with AI art. I'm going to make Wes Anderson's Dracula.
100% I would show up to that premiere. Like, all right, let's go, guys. We're doing it.
But yeah, this is totally... Oh, shit, look who decided to show up.
Woo!
Hey there. Ryan, long time no talk. How's it going?
Hey, man. I was like, I know that voice.
I mean, right, we're just in the very last episode together.
See, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a couple weeks because I haven't recorded anything in a while, but we're in the very last episode we did together. The Godzilla thing.
What fun times.
Yeah. What's up, Ryan? We were just discussing how you conned us into watching this movie and didn't show up for the podcast.
Well, looks like my plan has worked.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, anyway, Ryan, what is your history with Dracula? By the way, it's 2000. You kept telling us 200.
I said 2000. You can clearly see it in the messages.
You said
I'm not willing Dracula to look at those. I remember 200.
It says 2000.
Yeah, after I fixed it, and I was like, hey, everybody, Ryan told us 2000. I mean, he told us 200. It's actually 2000, because I couldn't find 200 anywhere.
So there is also in some regions, this movie is called Dracula 2001.
Why?
I don't know. ever since I read that, I started calling it 2001, A Dracula Odyssey.
Nice.
I believe that you would do that, yes.
And I just got bumped from this whole podcast.
Is it spelled in that accent?
Yeah, I was trying to say it was Dracula 2000, not like some NASCAR race or something.
The Dracula 200. Coming to you live from the
the Dracula
Mardi Gras
on Fox.
Yeah, the Dracula.
You got to burn through the witches. Turn left and then burn
through the witches.
Yes. And repeat, just turning left and burning through the witches. I love it. Well, that's a dumber joke than the ones in the movies.
Yeah. So, welcome, Ryan. We were just saying how you recommended this movie. Why?
Because it takes place during the holiday of Mardi Gras.
And why is that relevant?
Because I just came back from New Orleans and Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay. All right, 10 out of 10. I can't argue that you did not, in fact, do that. You probably did. I bet you have some pictures for us.
Not for the podcast, for the listeners. They'll just have to, accept that.
There's well, that and Yeah, I recommended this movie, like, randomly, like, recommended this movie while I was in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And I was just like, what movies, like, surround Mardi Gras? And there were, like, three movies that popped in my head. It was this movie, an old like, 70s movie that's, like, a ripoff of, like, what is that movie?
Oh, Dracula AD 1972.
Well, I was gonna say like Blood Feast.
Well, no, remember, Ryan, you were in that episode. Remember at the very beginning of this podcast in 2021 when we had Bree and Joe were in the episode, yeah. And it was the old Christopher. Remember, I was talking about this before you joined, of how a band of satanic hippies resurrect Dracula and. He goes after the great 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 grandson of Van Helsing's daughter.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree.
Confirmation.
Also, the third movie was called Hatchet because, like I said, it all takes place in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. But I knew, like, the logical thing was we were going to pick Dracula 2000 because I saw the movie one time when it first came out in 2000. I remembered having a kick-ass soundtrack, but I couldn't remember if the movie just didn't age with time. So
the soundtrack did not.
The soundtrack did.
It's like a time capsule. The soundtrack is like, you got Slayer, you got Static X is in there.
Linkin Park.
Yeah. Oh my God. That fucking song.
Disturbed. Head PE. They were like all in this movie. And I was like, yeah. I remember Gerard Butler was in it. I remember like a bunch of people from the 90s were in it. But I was trying to see if this was going to be a so bad it's good or just like, okay, not bad.
It was definitely bad.
Yep, it was bad, but it was an easy watch because I was watching this movie and realized at some point, like, wow, there's only 40 minutes left of this movie. Wow, okay, fine.
Yeah, it is short, which I appreciate.
But one thing I did like about this movie is a lot of the places where it was shot, I recognized because I was just there.
Yeah, did you go on the Dracula 2000 tour and visit all the sites?
I did. I gave myself a dark history tour of Dracula 2000 because with the church and the statue, that's Jackson Square. That's also St. Louis Cathedral. I was just there, and right across the street is the Jack's Brewery and Virgin Megastores.
Awesome.
I was just there.
The Virgin store still there?
Virgin Mega Stores, yeah. Interesting. The record store is still there.
That's intense. I hadn't heard the term Virgin Records for a long time, so I thought it was lost in the past.
Very interesting. Daniel, before Ryan joined, you had a couple questions to ask us.
Yeah, I wanted to know, there were some really bad one-liners and jokes in this. Do you guys have a favorite of any of them? Or a situation that was really obnoxious?
There, it was probably the one with Omar Epps, and he's just like, you took my eye, an eye for an eye, just before he gets decapitated.
Yeah. I do recall that, yes. I don't remember any other dialogue.
It's pretty bad.
Sorry, Ryan. There's a part where he meets Lucy, who is, you know, clearly from Bram Stoker, given Daniel's Peanuts theory aside.
It's not a theory, it's canon. They mentioned it in the movie.
Ryan, did you know that this is like a Peanuts reference? This whole movie references Peanuts?
I'm seeing it now.
Anyway, she's like, my name's Lucy, and I'm like,
was laying on the thick.
For those who like in the original story by Bram Stoker, not necessarily the Gary Oldman movie, but like the 1800s movie that started this whole Dracula thing, Lucy is not a main character, but like a pretty solid character. Except for her neck, am I right, guys?
I was kind of waiting for Vitamin C's character to have a dog named Snoopy. I was just like, yeah, this is definitely a Peanuts reference.
I was just reading about Vitamin C's cameo.
My personal reason for asking this was it was a slow burn for me on this, and like I said, I watched it again, but it got very deeply religious, and it's like, oh yeah, the whole reason that you can't do any of this to him is because of the whole religion thing, and oh, all the things that were used against him, silver and stakes, all of that was used against Jesus and Judas and all this, and then there's that dude who they try to use a cross, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm sorry, that's not gonna work, I'm an atheist. Wait, that it? You just don't have to believe, like, yo, no, man, I don't think that's gonna work on me. No. Like, I'm gonna wear my sun shades and I can go out in the daylight. Like, what?
The power of the mind, you know?
There's another joke out there that I read a while back. It's just like, you know, vampires in every other continent after Jesus dies suddenly getting hurt by a lowercase t just one day randomly.
I think my favorite one-liner in the movie was just so corny, was when Simon, I believe. What was that his name, Simon?
Simon.
There was a guy named Simon, yeah.
It was Lionel.
He was originally from... the actor was originally from Trainspotting.
And from
Hacker. I forget his character.
So it's the line where he meets the three vampire chicks, and one of them is like, you ever done it with a TV star? And I'm like... You're just a news anchor. You're just a news lady. I'm like, why is that even? It's like the next time we see her is just like she brings up that she's a TV star. I was like, I only seen you once in the movie.
Oh, that's who she was. Okay, yeah, that was driving me a little bit crazy. All the characters were so bland and interesting that I'm like, who the fuck is this third chick? Like, I remember the two. It's the two girlfriends. Got it. Who is this lady? I don't remember her at all. I just felt really dumb. I'm like, I don't know who this person is, and I don't remember how Mary's father died. Like, I just don't remember it because it just wasn't interesting enough.
Well, they showed it behind the scenes. He was just under the bed impaled at that point.
Yeah, but it was just
boring.
He gets off camera, killed off screen.
Okay, so that was who was dead under the bed? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he lives. You know, undying these days, and then, you know, they don't even show him actually during the final throws. That was a big letdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's expected because the whole fight between him and Dracula in the old age was a letdown.
True. It was very swift.
I've seen more action between Peter Cushing and fucking Christopher Lee than I did these two.
So, Christopher Plummer is who ended up playing Abraham in this movie, and yeah, you know, very very distinguished person to go out with a really subtle death is a big slap in the face in my opinion.
Dude, I kept asking myself, I'm like, how the fuck did he know where to go to find Dracula?
True.
Because he didn't realize, like, he comes into New Orleans, sees the news report, and he's like, there he is, and I'm like, how the fuck did you, like, what? because they don't, it's not like they show it afterwards and he's just like, okay. He's sitting in his office looking at the news. He goes, okay, I got to go to New Orleans. He's just like, I got to go. And it's like, how the fuck does he, and then I kind of figure since he's got Dracula's blood, he has like this shining connection with Dracula himself. So I was like, okay, if they would explain it that, sure. But that's not really touched on. He's just like, where are you going? I have to go.
Yeah, same thing with Simon. It's just like he just miraculously shows up. He's just like, I just saw you grab your passport. And it's just like, well, how did you know where he was going?
Well, and Dracula has this need to go after and I mean, I guess it's a Van Helsing, sure, but like after his daughter, like just, yo, dude, why? Why? They don't try to give these characters any sort of emotion or feeling or plot. I still don't know why we should give a shit about Mary. She wasn't really that, she wasn't interesting at all. And there was nobody's interest in Mary that made any sort of sense in the whole movie. Just like, they were just there. Everyone was just there in the movie.
It's like, yeah. I cared more about Vitamin C's character, Lucy, than I did her character.
In all honesty, like, you know, you've got the whole folklore of different styles of the stories of Dracula and stuff like that. And I kind of felt in this one, it almost had the sequel versions of Star Wars of the Mary Sue. Like, she's supposed to be the main character, but you give no credit, or you give no shits about what she's doing throughout the whole movie, in all honesty.
Like, I found it like a hard time trying to give a shit between the relationship between Abraham and Simon.
Yeah, why?
You just took him in off the streets, I guess.
Well, yeah,
you know.
Because it's like you were like a father to me. I'm like, dude, you're like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've ever seen Invincible, it's just like, it's like a puppy. It's just like, fuck.
Like a pet, yeah.
I also love how Simon had, like, he felt like he had knowledge of how to use weapons, but he didn't.
Yeah, he unloaded his whole clip the very first time that he used it, and he only had one gun. Like, I've unloaded the whole clip on one vampire.
And then they give the best line in the movie. He's like, don't fuck with an antiques dealer.
That was later. This one was also a bad one. When he killed that dude, he said, I said it was sorry.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we've somehow gone 40 minutes into this podcast, and we have not mentioned, God damn it, Danny Matheson, he fucked up again.
Yeah.
Like, this is all his fault.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like Danny Matheson popped up, and I'm like, ugh.
Well, the like, first time even... Hold up. Sorry to interrupt, but... The first time you saw this movie, when it came out in 2000, what did you really think of Danny Matheson when you saw
it? Don't. Just, I was just like, oh, that 70s show, that guy.
Hey, it's Hyde.
Yeah, I was like, well, I was just like, why? Okay. I don't know. He just gave... It's just like having him and having Harvey Weinstein's names in this movie was just like, it's awful.
This isn't Miramax.
Well, him and Bob Weinstein produced it.
Wes Craven was executive producer.
Yeah, he was the producer. But if you watch the names in the credits, you'll see Bob and Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I'm double checking real quick too. Weinstein.
But now that certain things have come to light and certain people have gone to jail and court and whatnot, what did you all think when you saw Danny Matheson?
Weinstein said it stinks.
I legitimately didn't recognize him. I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but I'm just like, I looked like a dude I wanted to punch in the face. That was it.
He looked exactly the same as Hyde and
but I didn't watch that show.
How did you not watch that show? Everybody watched that show.
I don't know.
I recently rewatched that show.
I watched it for the cute redhead. Whatever.
Hey, I'm even on their side. I watched the show too.
Now, what we shouldn't watch is that 80s show. That didn't make it past the first season.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but do you know who's in that 80s show that ended up being a much more a popular show?
Who's Harvey Weinstein.
Okay. Yes, Harvey Weinstein. Glenn Howerton was on the 80s show.
You're gonna have to remind me who that is.
Yeah, Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was
okay. That makes a lot. That makes a lot more sense. Was he the main character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like the Lyman. It's pronounced Lemole. That's the only thing I remember from that series. Is just so bad beyond that.
I remember the girl with the hair that's like sticking up, and a guy.
It's called
like,
a mohawk.
Did she have a mohawk? I don't think she had a mohawk.
It was a mohawk.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, she had the mohawk, and the guy is like, "How do you get it to stay up?" And she says, "How do you get it to stay up?"
Hey-o.
Man, we've gone out off the subject so many times.
But it's been worth it.
Anyway, Ryan, I interrupted you with the Danny Matheson thing, and you can continue what you were saying like 15 minutes ago.
Well, when I recommended the movie, I'm like, oh wait, Danny Matheson's in this. I was like, oh wait, he gets killed. All right, we're a go.
It's also the cause of everything that happens. It's all his fault.
He was instructed to go and check it out, so. Unfortunately, yeah, he was patient zero that started the whole conflict and fed Draculia.
Yeah. With the maggot or the leech, I mean. Yeah. That got him in the eye.
Well, no, I think he cut his hand on the side trying to get it open, and then the blood sucked into the edges, and that's what really started everything.
These robbers were so awful. Awful.
Yep.
I mean, what made you think he had gold or silver in that fucking vault?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. They didn't do any real research. I don't know, man. It's a locked door. Sounds good to me. Like, you know what else is a locked door? It's a bank where you're sure that there is absolutely money.
Yeah, because it's like... It's because it's not a bank, right? It looks like a bank, but it's like an, isn't it like an antiques museum or some shit?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a collection of derelicted items. Yeah,
I mean, you could make a lot of money off of that if you were incredibly talented and knew how to fence all of it. But I mean, also then you should just go ahead and follow the mummy and, you know, go ahead and do some raiding of pyramids or something. I don't know. Literally anything other than just stealing stuff that you wouldn't know what it is in the first place. But they believed he had gold and money in it, which I don't see how an antique stealer would have that much money.
I'm going to have to put it out. I want to put it out there that the most unrealistic aspect of this movie was when they're in their plane and they have the coffin perfectly symmetrical on the inside of the cabin is just, or inside of the holding bay. It's just like, I don't think that they would have cared enough if they were in such a rush to rob something to be like, all right, move it one more inch this way. All right, let's get this nice. Ah, perfect.
But you would think they'd at least strap it down. I mean,
yeah, true that especially too. It would have moved in flight.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the most sensical thing that could have happened was when Danny Masterson opened the coffin and realized there's no gold, to just shut it and be like, hey, there's no gold in here.
Yeah.
No, he had to check that guy's pockets. What if he was hiding gold in them pockets?
He did find the cross that had rubies on it.
And I don't know if you realize, but there was also like a split second that they pan off to his hand and it looks like he's got treasure underneath him.
Huh.
Yeah, which turned out to be more things that ended up biting everyone in the face, but that's okay.
And then what it did was it resurrected the most boring Dracula I've ever seen.
It would have been a lot cooler if he had just kept that helmet on the whole time. And every time he would talk, it'd be like the Monty Python where he has to open up his face guard to talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Dark Helmet vibes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. So I have a question. So, like I mentioned a couple times before, I made three different failed attempts to watch this movie. Why was he going after the Van Helsing's daughter?
Because Van Helsing's daughter had his blood.
In an actual lineage through courtship.
Oh,
I didn't pay attention to that at all. Yeah, Van Helsing got the dirty business going while he had the blood inside him. Because he was taking the leeches to stay alive. And so, yeah, after he got impaled through Dracula, he had the blood. So that caused the lineage, which I guess, yeah, she was just his daughter. So, yeah, nobody else would have it at that point.
But we never saw...
Would her daughter end up having... Or would her child end up having
it? Hold on.
Too deep in that rabbit hole.
So who was her mom?
I believe that Van Helsing was the mom and that Dracula was the father.
Yeah, I could see that.
Junior style birth. But I mean,
and she was born in what, 1975 or something?
Maybe.
How old is she supposed to be in 2000? Yeah, I guess so. She looks like she should be at in a sorority, so I'm guessing younger than that. 1978, 79, maybe.
Yeah, you're probably right. So why was she born so much later after all the Bram Stoker?
Do you know how hard it is if you're going to be a vampire-obsessed loser that keeps secrets to find a woman that's going to be into you? He had to wait until the 70s.
She had
it was
mom.
Cool to be dark. Yeah.
Who was the mom?
We don't know.
They never said.
It's not important at all.
But the mom is related to Dracula, like a great 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 granddaughter.
No, I don't think so. It's the leeches inside of him.
Well, yeah, he had already been impaled, so to keep that blood going, that's how he wouldn't. I guess transition into a vampire. I don't really understand that part. If he already had the blood after he got impaled, like the leeches were keeping him alive.
So to explain it like this, yes, when Dracula was impaled, Abraham gets impaled, and the blood from the spike courses into Abraham's veins, which keeps him alive. So he realized that the only way to fight Dracula is to use his blood so he can keep living.
Yeah.
And so once he impregnates this woman and has Mary has Dracula's blood, which connects. That's why Abraham and Mary both had a connection to Dracula, because they both have his blood.
It's actually a very good explanation of a very stupid thing, but that's fine.
I was going to say, mic drop right there. That was a great summary.
Yeah, it really was. It's just so, it's frustrating to me. Like, you said all that to explain this terrible movie. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you.
All right. Okay. So that explains why she's related to Dracula. I get that now.
I guess.
That, now I understand that. What I now don't understand is, why is he going after her?
So that they can mate, I guess? Have
with
a
his
queen,
daughter?
The queen of the damned? It's not his daughter. It's Abraham's daughter.
Kind of.
No,
she's got his DNA. That's how daughters work.
But he's... no, she's like a second cousin, but...
because if he bites her and makes her into a vampire, she will be as powerful as he is.
Exactly. She's almost like a patient zero at that point.
But why does he care? What's the motivation?
She has enthrallment like he does, and they just enthrall each other.
Excuse me, that sounds very dirty.
Hey, she's getting up in that age, and she needs a man. So... Dracula is the best solution.
I've been waiting for you for 2,000 years. I'm only 21. Gross.
Oh, no. Hey, listen. Again, if you're going to dress like that and act like that, you'll wait as long as you need to.
Gary Oldman said, I've crossed oceans of times to oceans of time to find you.
True.
Yeah. And Gerard Butler said nothing cool like that.
No, all he said was, I don't drink coffee.
Yep, yep.
And Gary Oldman said, I never drink wine.
Wine.
But yet it hits so much better, though.
It would have been much better if somebody was eating flies in this one, too.
Fucking Wes Anderson, god damn it.
Wes Anderson.
the worst vampire movie imaginable. Wes Anderson.
I can tell your plot point for your prompt is going to be Wes Anderson has to remake this movie.
Yeah, let's get into it. Wes Anderson has to make this movie. Dracula, or no. Van Helsing is played by Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Simon was played by Luke Wilson.
Yes, exactly. And so Owen Wilson already plays
somebody.
I'm
pretty upset, guys. Come on. What are you doing this to me?
Owen Wilson is Dracula.
Well, I mean that kind of makes sense because, like, the entire time...
Val.
You see Abraham trying to explain stuff to Simon. He's, like, confused. But now I'm picturing, like, Luke Wilson with that resting confused face, and I'm like, it works.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, but it does.
And then Luke Wilson played by... All right, Luke Wilson playing Dracula is just like, you know, I don't understand why you're, like, over here. I don't know.
I mean, of course, Owen Wilson's got to be in it, too. Just like, wow, are you serious? Dracula?
Yeah, that's what I just said. No, he is Dracula.
He was Dracula. He's the Val.
That's what I've been saying.
Are you saying Luke Wilson or Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson is Owen.
They're both the same guy.
Would we also have Ben Stiller in there somewhere?
Yeah, Ben Stiller is...
Where he's eating flies?
Ben Stiller is...
He could be Renfield.
Yeah.
There was no real Renfield in this one.
He's not part of the movie, he's just eating flies because he could be.
There was the one chick that they arrested who was in the
oh, you're right.
They were talking to her through the glass and she was just like masturbating.
I see your bulge from here, yeah.
So instead of flies, she was having orgasms instead.
Oh, she wasn't eating flies, she was unzipping flies.
Oh! That's terrible.
Well, that's the end of the episode, everybody. Thanks for listening. Guys, thanks for joining. It's been fun.
that's not true. It's been gross.
So are we led to believe that Dracula gives women like the instant like flustering of every woman who sees him wants to bang him?
Yes.
I mean that's always Dracula. That's every single Dracula movie that's ever been made.
The allure super charming enthrallment.
I mean, there just so happened to be a scene where everybody that's in Virgin Megastores happens to be a woman between the age of 17 and 22.
Have you been to a Virgin Megastore?
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't find women between the ages of 17 and 22.
Reasonable. Have you been there in the year 2000 though?
No, I was a kid.
Yeah, so
they probably all look older. It's okay.
They just
got older.
I couldn't wait to be an adult so I can go to Virgin Megastores. Because that's where all the bitches are at. And when I was of age, I did go there, and I was vastly disappointed.
So we got Ian's prompt, obviously. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Ian, do you have anything else to add to it? Do you got any crazy twists?
Everybody's sitting directly in the center of the frame, staring directly to the camera. and there's a lot of, like, weird, like, just bland colors. Like, there's like a peach color, which is everywhere.
Was like this, all the bland white people.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the scenery. Like, okay. all the background, it's all like peach and kind of brownish. But no, that's all I got.
I wanted to bring up something.
What's that?
The scene where Dracula is walking down the street and he sees a TV, and now we're watching a Monster Magnet video?
Yeah, that got brought up earlier.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't here. So
whose fault was that?
That got brought up earlier, too.
That was also brought up, yep.
Oh, okay, well, I'd say 85% may be my fault. But, you know, I'm a victim of circumstance.
But yeah, yeah. yeah. So there's that.
So I can go next if y'all are down.
No, absolutely. Daniel, how about you?
Go ahead, Daniel.
That seems unnecessarily rude. I don't really understand, but sure, I'll go.
This is not the first episode I've done.
Yeah, I want to talk about the incredibly disappointing Dracula in casting decisions here. Especially after mentioning that Mary was almost like a second cousin. I think that if we're going to cast a Dracula movie in New Orleans, in Mardi Gras, that we're missing an opportunity to cast Cajun Dracula. And I'd like to redo this movie, but I want Dracula to be laying on real thick now here. I want him to be just laying on all that extra spiciness that he may have, and just have ridiculous Southern Cajun Dracula going after and like driving through the bayou on his little boat and everything. Like, I'm not allowed to cross water, but they didn't say I couldn't ride one of these babies. And wrangling alligators. Yeah, bayou.
He turns into like you know what the one part where they shoot him and he just turns into 1,000 bats and flies away. This one he just turns into 1,000 alligators.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say he turns into 1,000 big mosquitoes.
Yeah, I was gonna say mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. Yeah, no, I would watch all of this.
Right. It's a bloodsucker.
But
so primarily we're not really casting for Dracula, we're casting for the X-Men character Gambit.
Yes, exactly. That's who I want to be playing this, but it's a missed opportunity.
Remy LeBeau.
Where he walks by, he's like, man, life don't get much better than this.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see why.
If we're gonna make a bad the time decision, of his life in New Orleans. During
as long
Mardi
as Europe. He says at one point, all is way in my head. You like mean, to see homos naked? No, I was wondering about that.
I mean, are we looking at a scene where he's walking down the street and sees like fresh boil crawfish and just starts picking at it?
No, that's what Renfield's going to be doing. He's going to be eating live crawfish out the river.
That's not how vampires work.
He'll make them undead crawfish so that they attack the people.
Yes,
no, Renfield. Renfield could be eating crawfish straight out the
Renfield's
river.
Eating crawfish, yes.
So, but hey, you know what's another name for crawfish?
Great dad.
Mud bugs.
Yeah, mud bugs. There you go. See, no,
he's not, he's coming together. He's like, you don't take bugs' lives. You take mud bugs' lives. And I'm like, Jesus.
But I mean, so Remy LeBeau is a perfect example of it, though. But like laying on that kind of charming instead, it would absolutely work. Just why don't we just go down that path and just let it go? Just it's already a bad. Dracula, just let it go off in a different direction. Make it a different kind of bad Dracula. I mean, it wouldn't have been any blander than this movie. They could have used something to make it exciting in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it would have. Because now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm picturing, like, I'm replacing Dracula with Gambit, and I'm like, wow, that would have been a much better Dracula.
I love the idea of him too, like chewing on something, spitting and like spitting into a can, having it be blood, or like somebody's ear or something like that. Well, now I'm going and then talk to you off now, haven't I? just stupid ass jokes, just like this movie, but having it just be an amazing, weird Southern vampire.
I love it. That's the second best one so far.
Well, let's let Sloan and Ryan give us our third and fourth best then.
All right, Ryan, go ahead.
what are we talking about here?
What's your pitch for a remake or whatever? How can you make this movie better?
Honestly, I think his idea was perfect. And I'm upset I didn't think of it sooner.
Yeah.
I was gonna. Well, I mean, for me, someone who's born and raised in New Orleans, what would have made this better? I guess if somehow Dracula would have taken part in the Mardi Gras floats. I mean, if you're gonna be in New Orleans, you might as well have some kind of fun.
Yeah, he's just kind of walking around while everybody's like partying to Static X.
You quite literally could have done it anywhere. This movie didn't need to take place in New Orleans.
No, it really
during Mardi Gras. It just had nothing to do with it, which is kind of odd.
Well, it had a little bit to do with it, and it's the fact that Mardi Gras is actually a Catholic holiday.
He was enticed by the sinners. Right. You got to see the voluptuous silhouettes when he first starts seeing everything. Then he's just like, "Oh, this there's debauchery going on around me. This is nice."
Because what a lot of people don't know is that, of course, Mardi Gras is a Catholic holiday, and that and it's just like, unless you knew that, then you wouldn't really. You wouldn't really realize why Mardi Gras had anything to do with, you know, this movie with him being Judas and him dealing with, you know, Christianity. So it's kind of like when you really think about it, you can put two and two together. So it kind of mixed well. But other than that, they could have literally had him be like anywhere else, and you know, the movie still would have been blah.
Yeah. He could have been in Alaska for 30 days of night. Yeah.
Okay, so now I want to see, like, well, no, never mind. I was going to say, like, a Brooklyn vampire, but that movie already exists, too.
With Eddie Murphy.
Imagine a vampire in Brooklyn. But maybe, like, a Minnesotan.
Like, Minnesota Dracula.
Hey Dan, I'm about to suck your blood.
No, that's Canadian.
They still talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry for the mess.
That's all Canadian.
They have a perfect blend between Canadian.
No, there's a difference.
It's there is. Minnesota.
I dated a girl from
Minnesota. You gotta do two things. You gotta watch Fargo, and then you gotta listen to anything that Jesse Ventura says.
I love you, Norm.
I was just gonna say you gotta watch Fargo because how they say Minnesota.
Minnesota.
God, that's all just so Canadian. It's so like violently Canadian.
I blame it on my cold, damn it.
So you're saying instead of having Mardi Gras in the background, it would have been like a Green Bay Packers game going on?
Yeah.
So it's like a bunch of people with like cheese head helmets and shit.
Yeah, see that sounded good. Just that one like thing he just said sounded like, oh yeah, Minnesota. Like, oh yeah, we're over here like going over. There's a fucking vampire.
Gee golly, don't you know a vampire?
Where would you put your darn vampire though? What other state would you put it? What other part of the world would you put him in where it wouldn't go over well?
You can't go to Africa. We already went over that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also not a state.
Or other part of the it is another part of the world though, which is the second part of what you said.
Antarctica?
That seems boring. What are you going to do in Antarctica?
Texas?
Yeah. There's no one to suck. There's no one to suck blood.
They'll probably be greeting with the thing and make some super blood-sucking thing. I don't know. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. I just got booted off of this podcast again, I'm sure.
It's like Ian turned off his mic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I stopped recording like like 34 minutes ago.
Deuces.
No. No, all right, Sam, what's your idea?
All right, I hope everybody had a great time. This is the... No, I'm kidding. So I'm not going to pitch anything new because I'm going to say that one of the series that came out a while back actually really did touch a good base on this whole situation. So instead of prompting something new or saying a sequel of my own... I'm going to relate this to The Strain. Have y'all ever seen the series, The Strain?
I have a love
The Strigoi. I do too. The delivery was a little weird for the ending, but the concept was actually pretty cool. It's the whole
was cool. Yeah.
It's the whole enthrallment. And the main thing that I really wanted to piece together was, you know, you've got Christopher Plummer playing Abraham in this, and then the main fighter in the other one, who's also infected, is Abraham in The Strain, and he's fighting the master all throughout the years, and so it's a very touches base in the storyline that I appreciated a lot. There's really no concept of trying to find a a lineage from Abraham, but I thought that it would be a fun piece to talk about, bring it back to light, because I haven't heard anybody talk about The Strain in a long time, and it was cool when it first came out.
So like you said, the premise is really cool.
It has the worms and the leeches, which is
the execution
really
is fucking awful. Like, all the characters, they wear so much plot armor. Like, they are
and the mother is just idiotic.
They're just, there's, like, entire hordes of vampires going after them, and they kill everybody they come in sight, except for the main characters, who are just, like, they don't get touched. And they're chopping off heads. And they all have perfect haircuts that never grow.
And then you've got the rich man who thinks that he's in control, but he's actually, a Remington or
I think the problem with the Strain is that it pretty much got lost in the pile of all the zombie TV shows that were coming out around the time.
Yeah.
I appreciated it more.
And the vampire shows, too.
I appreciated it more than what The Walking Dead became.
Like, because even the Sci-Fi Channel had their own zombie show called Z Nation.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think my mom watched that for a while, but I don't have just classic TV anymore, unfortunately. Well, probably fortunately. I get to choose what I watch these days. I'm not a zombie anymore.
You know, I just find it very interesting that them trying to bring Dracula in the year 2000, and then every Dracula after that has been very bad. especially watching back, Bela Lugosi and Christopher Lee and all those guys, it's like no one really has been doing Dracula any justice.
Gary Oldman did.
Well, yeah. There's that new one where they ended up doing just a few years back. It's just like the true story of Dracula. And that was Dracula Untold.
Untold was garbage.
But there is one movie, and I need to check it out, and y'all check it out too, where Dracula is played by Michael Ironside, and it's called The True Story of Dracula. I want to check that one out.
Okay, there was another one I forgot, and it's Udo Kier, the German actor. He plays in Andy Warhol's Dracula.
Interesting.
He was very good, too.
Oh, I forgot about Andy Warhol's Dracula.
And you all are forgetting.
Well, wait.
About Reynolds. Yes, waiting.
Oh.
We were. I mean, we listened.
I mean, is the recording breaking up or is Ian breaking up?
I think I was breaking up for a second.
I didn't hear Daniel. Like
Daniel like through. Disappeared.
Yeah.
And then I thought I disappeared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, y'all both broke away.
I was talking about Renfield with Nick Cage as Dracula.
That came out last year. Yeah.
Enjoyable. Great. Not the best Dracula in the world, but a certain type of Dracula. He did a good job at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it did incorporate some comedy, which was fine.
Let's not forget the best one, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
I've been thinking about watching that this week, honestly, after we brought this up. And I'm like, I'm not gonna.
Actually, I'm thinking about watching it after this podcast.
All right, maybe I'm gonna do it too. We'll cover it next week.
I was actually kind of considering about doing the Bram Stoker's Dracula because, like, the whole So Bad Is Good thing is definitely Keanu Reeves' acting.
Very much so, yes.
It is all like... Like, he shows up and he's like, whoa!
His character, like, Jonathan Harker, is like Ted in the 1800s. Yeah.
I've seen strange things already. A pack of wolves, bleeding wolves, chasing me down some blue inferno.
It kind of made me wish that Alex Winter was in it as well.
Yes.
He's like, where the bastard sleeps.
He's just like, wow, Dracula's journey here was most bogus, dude. Yeah. Ted, you're not about to go fight Dracula, are you? Looks like I am, Bill.
For the princess.
I got a stallion. And instead of death, it's Van Helsing.
Yeah, yeah. And then they cut off his head, and he was like, excellent!
It's like, dude, you totally took his head! Yeah, totally. I guess I did.
Hey, what happened to Dracula? Well, I guess he lost his head. Excellent!
he's just like, how are we going to get to Transylvania? Rufus! You boys need a ride.
Yeah. George Carlin is Van Helsing for sure.
There you go.
All right, I think that's it. There we go. Now we've got a new movie that we can work on.
That's definitely
start the Carlin, AI prompts.
George Carlin is dead by a couple decades, but we do have AI. And I mean, AI already did do like an entire comedy special by George Carlin. Did y'all see that?
Did not.
No.
Yeah. There's a podcast called Dudesy, which is hosted by Will Sasso and another guy. And there's an AI that gives them like prompts to talk about. And the AI is getting so good that it did an entire 1-hour special of George Carlin's stand-up.
Nice. That's
Didn't it do like a commercial with like Nicolas Cage movie or something?
It Tom Hanks? It was Tom Hanks. And it did a lot of commercials of Tom Hanks movies.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Dudesy is pretty great.
Here we are, straying away from this movie again.
Yeah, I mean, we did that a lot before you even joined.
We were just killing time until Ryan could come on in.
And give him some of that southern charm.
Okay, well, let's see. Do y'all want to go ahead and rate this? Okay, here's my problem with Dracula Untold. That movie's garbage. And there's a part that really pissed me off when I saw it. How many of y'all have seen Dracula Untold?
Did not.
Not it.
I have not.
None of you? Okay. So there's a part where... So it's a prequel to Bram Stoker's Dracula. And, you know, there's the thing where, like, his wife, like, jumps off, like, a bridge and dies in Dracula?
Yeah.
So that part is in Dracula Untold, but he actually tries to save her, and so he sees her at the top of the ledge, and he turns into 1,000 bats, and he shoots up there in no time at all. And then she falls, but actually, really, she's thrown off, and it's not suicide. She was actually murdered, and so she gets thrown off, and then he jumps after her, but somehow the speed of gravity was too fast for him to save her.
You know, that actually kind of makes sense because, you know, when they're when the bats are fluttering, they flap their wings and they can climb real fast, but, you know, going down, you have to fall at the speed of the weight that you're given. So
you're telling me accuracy does not please Ian.
So he's bats at that point, which are a lot lighter, and, you know, the wife is heavier at that point. So she's going to be falling at a heftier velocity. So, sorry. I'm trying to make sense of it. I broke up.
Your explanation of accuracy does not please Ian.
No, it does not. All right. Let's go ahead and rate this thing.
Sorry.
Production is not bad. Like I said, the cinematography is actually pretty good. The new metal soundtrack, not bad. That's all I got.
Very good night, everybody.
So about 6 bats. Story. So enjoyment. I have three Draculas.
It's not for 3 times that you tried to stay awake during the movie and failed.
3 different attempts. Yes, thank you, Daniel. 3 different attempts I had.
So I could think of when you said 3. I was like, the enjoyment better be 3 times that you fell asleep watching the movie.
No, I fell asleep twice watching the movie. The third time I was too busy playing a video game.
Oh,
the plot thickens.
All right. Daniel, you go ahead. Oh, wait, hold up before you do. There's the whole double feature thing. So I would pair this movie up with Dracula 3000.
That's right.
Yeah. So Dracula 80 1972, because it's got the same plot. Okay. Dracula 80 1972, and then Dracula 2000. Done. Daniel.
For production, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10 severed heads. The production was good. The gore wasn't there for no apparent reason, but you had to enjoy the camera work. You had to enjoy some of the special effects, you know, the sexy ceiling times and all the weirdness of the seduction scenes were done really well. The story, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10. I did not like the story. I didn't think that it went very well. I didn't think it was cohesive. And for the story, I'm going to give it the 2 entirely different time frames for how old Dracula is. Is he there from the 1500s, or was he there with Jesus? That's a huge gap. For enjoyment, though, I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to give that for 3 different sets of teeth that a vampire may have their fangs on. The front set, the ones next to it, and then the actual fangs, all of which were viewed in this movie.
Cool. Okay, and if you were to watch this movie with another movie that was similar in a double feature, which movie would that be?
It would definitely be Blade. I'd like to see the exact same theming done right. If you're going to make a movie with 2000 in it, you've got to have some cool futuristic looking stuff going on. If you want Blackulas, you've got to have a cool Blackula. Like, come on, guys. There is no 2000 about this. There was nothing that made it high tech, fun,
cool, there's the new edgy metal soundtrack.
Yeah, I guess. And there wasn't
from Blade the year too, but 2000.
It just doesn't. it didn't have the fun of a 2000 movie. I'd say if you called it Blade 2000 for the Blade movie, I would have accepted that, but not in this one. So I would like to watch Blade next if I can.
With this, I would honestly say that Queen of the Damned did better usage of the soundtrack than this movie did.
Well, that's an amazing soundtrack for one, but yeah, it sure did.
They have the same soundtrack.
They have the same people.
And about the same ratings if I were to re-rate the movies in all the same spots, but that's okay.
All right, Sloan, your turn.
All righty. So, for production value, it was definitely well produced, and the cinematography was great. It's almost along the lines of like The Crow, but extremely colorful and vibrant. So I definitely give it that. You know, you've got some big names during the time, but their delivery was a little funky. But I'm gonna go ahead and give that. I'm gonna go ahead and agree at 7 cups of coffee that I don't drink.
That's a lot of cups of coffee.
Gotta keep up through the night. next on up, we've got the enjoyment, right? Let's go ahead. I enjoyed it ultimately. There are some parts where, you know, you just gotta slap yourself in the forehead and say you need a V8, but you know, you can only go so far if you're not making a movie yourself, which I'd make a hell of a movie if I could. But I don't have the money, I don't have the products. So I'm going to trust Hollywood to pretend that they know what they're doing and what I like. But yeah, I'll bletch. So for enjoyment, there were some fun parts of it, but I'm going to go ahead and give it 3 characters from the Peanuts gallery.
Which ones?
Well, it's definitely going to be Lucy Lionel and what the hell is his name? The Bird.
Oh, the Bird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his name, the Bird.
And if you...
Fine, Seamus is the last one.
All right. If you could somehow watch this movie alongside another similar movie, which movie would that be?
Well, I would take you very far away from the candidness of this one, and I would totally bring it to something of very particular zest and quality. Also, Bites Dion and the Psyoth. Interview with the Vampire. We did not talk about that at all tonight. And so, yep. Yeah.
Nope, we did not.
With the Vampire Lestat. Yeah, that's still one of my favorite books. The first 50 pages are hard to get through, but once you do, really, really fantastic. I mean, you can't deny the star-studded cast. You've got Tom Cruise. You've got Brad Pitt. God damn, what is his name? Armando, the Desperado.
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas, yes.
Did you know that Tom Cruise was not her first choice for Lestat?
I can see that, but I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise, but that's the only thing that I can actually appropriate him with.
So when she wrote Interview with the Vampire, you know who she had in mind?
Who's this?
Rutger Hauer.
Oh, huh. Rutger Hauer. Interesting.
I don't see that. That's
weird. Would have been very different.
Yeah, even though he is Dracula in Dracula 3 Legacy.
So we need to do that movie, obviously.
That's intense. I love the connection. That's cool.
So you have in that movie you have Bruce Lee versus Dracula.
Bruce Lee.
Jason Scott Lee, who played, you know, Bruce Lee in that Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Nice.
He's in.
I gotta check that one out.
So him and Roy Schneider are both in 2 and 3.
Second, I thought you said Rob Schneider.
Pretty close.
Rob Schneider is the vampire.
Rob Schneider is a stapler. Okay,
that, that's my correlation. That's my connection.
Cool. Ryan, your turn.
Well, I can honestly say it's probably going to be all across the board. Cinematography was good, you know, for the year 2000. You know, colors were better. So I kind of put it up with, like, you know, a 7. You know, 7 weapons on Abraham's wall that he did not even bring or use.
You know, you keep bringing up things that we totally talked about at the beginning of the movie before you joined.
Well, I wasn't here.
No, it's great because you come in and you, like, you give us the confirmation.
So you make it sound like everything I'll talk about. You know what, guys? Let's wait till what Ryan says about it.
Ultimately, yes.
Story was definitely, you know, one bland remake of Dracula AD. Or not, not AD, I'm sorry, 1972. I got him confused. But as far as enjoyment, I'm just going to give it slightly higher because of the fact that watching this movie reminded me of home, and just thinking about it, I was home, and it was great just to see, you know, the Mardi Gras and all those places that I just fucking saw.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the reason why I recommended that movie. So I'm going to give it 6 stakes it took to kill Danny Masterson.
All right.
Oh, and my double feature, I'm still going to have to go with this movie. And then now, after this podcast, I'm going to watch Dracula Dead and Loving It.
All right. Nice. Cool.
Neat.
Excellent. I guess that'll do it for this episode. So better get Medical Classics in Camp. Thanks, guys, for joining. Ryan, I'm not going to thank you for making me watch this movie. I did not enjoy it.
You're welcome.
We'll probably do more Dracula movies later on. Like, we'll probably just do like 3 months worth of Dracula movies.
Is one of them going to be Rockula?
Rockula.
with Thomas Dolby.
I didn't know such a thing existed. So,
oh yes. Yeah, there's a movie called Rockula, and Thomas Dolby, I think he's like Van Helsing.
Hmm.
Okay. It doesn't look good. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at it right now. I'm not going to watch that.
we'll do a Christopher Lee Hammer Dracula movie. We'll do Dracula 3. We'll do maybe Bram Stoker's. I don't know. But what we are definitely going to do right now is leave. We're out of here.
Yeah. Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Bitch, are you for real?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. We're all out of bubblegum.
He thinks he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
If you don't get me my money tonight, I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out on the horse, boy.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action.
And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. 23 of them are already gone.
Don't forget, squat your decks!